Have a look, please, in the Word, if you would. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Did you notice there that you have a spirit? Hello. And you have what else? And what's the last thing? Are you a soul? So what do they mean when they say there were 49 souls on board? You can talk, it's okay, you're at church. Because the world who creates those systems and terminologies have no idea what the spirit is. Do you understand? That's why the vessel has 185 souls on board. It's not souls on board, it's spirits on board. But they don't know what a spirit is. Dad Hagen said in his lifetime, you know, from the time he started preaching in 1934 until the time he ended in 2003, he said rarely had he ever, especially in the early years, rarely did any minister get this correct. Every minister would talk about the soul as though it was the spirit. Because there was a lack of knowledge, and so we don't have that lack of knowledge anymore. In fact, we take this for granted, like this is obvious. But back in the yonder days, it was not obvious, and people would fight and argue and even split churches over it, and it was a big deal. But there is a spirit in a man, and that is the real you. Amen. The real you, you can't see. But that's the real you. Your spirit is you, not your soul. Your spirit is you. Then you have this soul capacity because your spirit has to have expression. So it expresses itself through a mind because you have a brain. And that's a very important part because if your brain doesn't work, you know, you can't blink your eyes. Your brain is that natural functionary, but then your mind, which is part of your brain, is your thought process, and your will is your decision-making ability. I will to slap Taylor. Psh, that was my will. I will to hug him. Let's snuggle. Now, my will chose to hug him by faith. And then what happens is my emotions get involved, which is the feeling center, and it feels good to snuggle with Taylor. Wow. I'm sure that Corinne can validate that statement. Maybe she's the only one. Praise God. And Kylie could validate that, but she can't talk yet. And by the way, she's healed. Praise That's God. Right. Little Kylie completely healed. Praise God. Hallelujah. Right away that week. Praise God. Anyway, so the real you, Joe, is your spirit. And then it has expression through you, the way you think, the way you feel, the way you decide. And then, of course, that's your soul realm. And then, of course, your body, as you know, is your outer shell that you have to give expression to your soul and your spirit in this planet. Right? And you're going to get a resurrected body when Jesus comes back, which will still be able to eat. Jesus wasn't vegan because he ate fish. Nothing wrong with vegans. I like them, actually. But Jesus wasn't one because he ate fish. And then he ate bread with gluten in it. Just letting you know. No, actually, he didn't. The unleavened bread has no gluten. So Jesus was gluten-free. Praise God. But anyway, let's just move right along now. I can feel Pastor Happy is pulling me in this direction. So we have a spirit and we are a spirit. We have a soul. We give expression through that, through our bodies. Are you with me?
Yes.
Now have a look, please, if you would, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. Just let the word, like a gentle shower, just bless you tonight. Amen. For which cause we faint not, 2 Corinthians 4:16, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Yeah. Ladies, especially ladies, because men don't seem to give a rip, but ladies, the Bible does say your outward man, that's your body, is going to break down. Do whatever you can, ladies, to slow that process. Whatever you can, right? Just and men too. No, I'm just saying, Jennifer. I'm just saying. I'm just saying, no, listen, because in our culture and in our society, if you look at the commercials, almost every other commercial is about some kind of a beauty product or about skincare or about youth renewal and about making or this or that or whatever else. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that as long as we don't become obsessed by it and that the outer perishing body that we're trying to slow the perishment does not become more important. This is what the world does. It becomes more important how they look than what their inner man is doing. And their inner man, most of them are dead anyway unto God. But even of the way they think, the renewing of their thinking so that they think that if you don't have the Bible, then you've got no standard for what you should think. So then what is your, if you don't, you have to have an origin point. You have to have truth. If they don't believe in the word, what is their truth? Yeah. Well, then everybody's got their own truth. Yeah. That's very, very dangerous. Yeah. Because the psychopath has his truth. Yeah. And the adulterer has his truth. Yeah. There's got to be one truth. Yeah. The Bible is the truth. That's why I feel sorry for sinners, because they've got no bearing. Yeah. They've got no origin point that they can point to the true north. The Bible is our true North Star. It is our standard and a pillar of truth. The Bible calls the church, did you know that? Peter called the church the pillar of truth. Not the Bible, although the Bible is, but the church is actually the pillar of truth. Why? Because the church is supposed to preach the Bible. We're supposed to be a stronghold of truth in our society. That if people want a moral compass, they don't look to CNN, they look to the church. That's how it should be. But now some churches, because they're not according to the Bible, their standard of truth is all, their compass is spinning. They don't have any grounding. Do you understand? But I want you to notice here, what was the scripture again? 2 Corinthians 4:16, is that what I said? Though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. There's nothing wrong with limiting or mitigating the perishment process. As long as that does not become your focus, your goal, and all you think about. The Amish are in one ditch. And the super religious ones, like the Pentecostals and where my wife grew up, they didn't believe in makeup. They didn't believe in earrings. They didn't believe in my God. Wear the makeup and wear the earrings. There's nothing wrong with that. As long as you're modest, Paul is not against that, even though people try to misquote the scriptures about that. But what he's trying to say is look the best you can, but don't have your sole focus on your outward. That is a self-indulged individual. And our society is dominated by self-indulged individuals. That's all they think about. They don't think about the eternal things. They think about the things that are perishing. They don't think about their spirit that is going to be eternal. They think about their body, which is going to perish. So I want you to notice here. Notice it talks about your inward man and your outward man. Your outward man is your body. You understand? But your inward man is your spirit. And what does, turn please to the book of Hebrews. I'm glad you asked. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. So you see, there's a difference there. So your inward man is your spirit technically and your soul. Your outer man is your body. But your soul and your spirit are so close. Watch now, that it takes the word of God to divide asunder soul and spirit and of joints and marrow. It compares soul and spirit to joints and marrow, which is indivisible. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So there is a soul and there is a spirit and it is different. Because the word of God can divide them. Your inward man is both those things because there's a capsule, but there is a difference between your spirit and between your soul. And that's the biggest problem, Willie, is people don't understand when they're being led. We're talking about being led by the Spirit. They don't understand when they're being led by the Spirit. This is the foundational problem. They think that God is leading them, but their soul is leading them. Their emotions are leading them. Their hurt feelings, their ambition, their pride, their jealousy, or their good nature, their generosity. That's still part of the soul realm. The biggest challenge for a believer is dividing soul and spirit. And so Dad Hagen taught that there is, I'm jumping ahead, but he taught that there is the inner witness, which we're going to talk about, because that's the major way you're led, right? But then there is something stronger than the inner witness called the inner voice. That is when the Holy Ghost speaks to you, but it's still that speaking, that's still where you sense a voice is talking to you, but you got to be very careful with that because you got weird people that are hearing voices. And it's not the Holy Ghost. So we go with the inward witness primarily because that's not a voice, that's a knowing. That's just, you don't understand why you know, you just know. Now, if the Lord does speak, which he can do, and he does with me on a fairly regular basis, and he did with Dad Hagen, and some things are louder than other things, some things it feels like I'm sure somebody else in the room heard it, but nobody heard it. So that is the inward voice, but it can be quite distinct. But you don't rely on that inward voice without ultimately relying on the inward witness. And if you're not, take my word for it, if you're not skillful with the inward witness, don't even look for the inward voice. Because the inward voice will lead you down the wrong path. And I can't tell you how many stories we've had in this church of people that have got weird, hearing voices, wanting this, wanting that. Wanting people, wanting relationships with somebody in the church. And now you see, when your soul is engaged and heightened, are you listening to me? When your soul is heightened, wanting somebody because you like them, that's all part of the body, hormones, and soul. When your soul is heightened, you are more likely to not hear your spirit because your soul is dominating. That's why I tell people, you got to forget the fact that you even like that person. Wipe the slate clean. Get out of your emotional realm and just don't have any opinions of nothing and just lay before God and pray in the Holy Ghost, because what you need to do is form something down in here, not up in your soul realm. Are you with me? But there is an inward voice and there is an inward witness. And that is the primary way God leads us, not by dreams. But he can. He told us, Bethel, there'd be more dreams than normal. Sure. But that doesn't mean that's the primary way he leads us. Yes. More than normal doesn't mean it's the primary way. Amen. It just means more than normal. If my normal amount of dreams per year is zero, then more than normal would be one. Yeah. Do you understand? I'm just saying that because people think that now they have to have dreams every night. Okay. So that's not the primary way God leads us. Yeah. Or prophecies.
That's right.
Or, you know, the rooster, they're coming up the driveway. I mean, if you don't know that story, I'm not repeating it. The rooster spoke to the preacher and saved his life. They were coming to murder him. Why didn't God have an angel? Because God's cool. And he decided today is rooster day. Why didn't the angel that the donkey could see tell Balaam? Because God's cool and today's donkey day. I'm waiting for it to be French Bulldog Day. I'm waiting for Dolly to say something to me. But he won't, because that's weird. And I'm not looking for that, because if you look for that, the devil will accommodate you. So you don't look for, there's many ways God can speak. But you don't look for those ways. You look for the word and the inward witness, not even the voice, the word and the inward witness. That's what you look for. That's the only thing you're promised. Now you say, why, Pastor Greg? It's so cool to have dreams and visions and words. Yay. Again, I say, yay. The Lord would say unto you, yay. It's so cool to have words and dreams and roosters and donkeys and dogs. And it's just, there's just neat things out there. Why does it have to be the boring inward witness? Which compared to other ways is kind of not exciting. Do you know why? Does anybody know why? It's not that God's not cool, because he'll do things other ways. But even if he does things other ways, it has to filter through the inward witness. Why is there safety in this? Does anybody know? Because the only thing that cannot be mimicked, that cannot be mimicked by demons, that cannot get you off the path, that cannot be wrong, is the inward witness. Why? Because the Holy Ghost lives in your spirit and no demon can enter your spirit. You can have demons in your mind as a believer. You can have demons on your body as a believer, but they are not permitted past the bloodline. And your spirit is sealed by the blood of Jesus. The Holy Ghost lives there and he doesn't share his home with devils. Which means when I have an inward witness that comes out of my spirit, it is the only guarantee I will ever have that this is 100% pure, true, and right, and there's no darkness in that leading at all. There's not even a speck of gray. It's pure. It's white, pure, the light of God. That's why we go with the inward witness, because it's the only thing that can't be crooked. Demons can influence you in your dream life because it's from your soul. Demons can influence a prophecy, or just the flesh of the person can be prophesying in their flesh. It may not even be a demon. Demons can possess animals. Yes, God give the rooster deal, but David Hogan has had multiple experiences of rabbits speaking by demonic power, of trees. Literally, you think that's only in the Lord of the Rings demonic movie? In witchcraft, they can have trees come alive. And there's been trees that have actually spoken to him with the bark speaking like lips, speaking to him. And he said, he cast the devil out of a tree once. Witchcraft can do a lot of things that you don't know about. The spiritual realm on the other side can do a lot of things that the average person doesn't know about. I could keep you here all night telling you witchcraft stories. Just from David Hogan alone, plus Dr. Sumrall. You would be shocked at what devils can do, at what people that yield themselves to devils can accomplish.
Yes.
But we're not after any of that.
No.
So we're not, look, the devils can influence animals, they can influence any other way that you're going to get a word from God. They can influence, are you listening to me now? I'm going to mess you a little bit now, but just pay attention. They can influence your mind. So if you're taking the written word and you're filtering and you're looking at it as a logos word, logos means written, and you're reading that word, do you understand? And you just, it's not necessarily out of your spirit. You're just reading it on the page and it's processing in your thought life. If a demon influences your thought life, even the scripture that you're reading, you can make a mistake on.
Yes.
That's how false doctrines start.
Yeah.
That's how, popped up on my thing today. I don't know why, but, you know, don't have this person in your church. And Jesse DePlantis is about to have this person in his church. So as soon as I saw that, I knew that these were fruitcakes that were sending out the message. But he'll ruin your church. So I read down the next sentence. He teaches faith and healing. Well, of course, there's a lot of people that hate faith and healing. There's a lot of people that hate us. Just ask Joy Radio. They get quite a few. People don't like everything that we say. Okay? So you can have the scripture and you can be in your mind about it, and your mind influenced by your flesh and by demons, or one or both, and you can come up with false doctrines through your thinking, like you can't wear makeup and earrings in the old Pentecostal church.
Yeah.
That's soul and that's flesh, and that's, it can even border on demonic, because it's legalism, and that religious spirit likes that kind of legalism. So what I'm saying is you can have the written word. So I'm not knocking the written word. You got to understand my heart. But you listen, you can have the written word in your mind only and still be influenced by a demon. So that is why it doesn't say the word. It doesn't just say the word. Did you notice that in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12? It says, for the word of God is quick. Now you study it. The word is logos. That's the written word. But now you've got descriptive words. It's the only scripture in the New Testament that has this, where it takes the word that says logos and then it describes it as becoming rhema in the same verse. All the other verses have one or the other. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That is the rhema word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word, the rhema word of God. No mention of logos in either of those. But in this scripture, it says the logos is, and that word is in the Greek means becomes. The logos becomes quick. Active. What is he talking about? The logos will become rhema.
That's right. Amen.
The rhema is the quick. So the definition in the Greek for the word quick, it means to become alive. You know, like they'll judge the quick and the dead. That doesn't just mean people that run fast. People that run fast and people that are dead are going to get judged. If you don't run fast, you're clear. No, quick means to be quickened of life. It means to be alive. When he judges the quick and the dead, You know, there's a movie, The Quick and the Dead, meaning the fast guy on the draw, and then the one who shoots is dead. That's not what it's talking about. The quick and the dead. It means the ones that are living and the ones that are dead. It doesn't mean the ones that are fast on the draw or that run very quickly. We have to teach people this, Merry Christmas, because people think it's the fast draw guy that's going to get judged only. I'm losing my train of thought, Jennifer. Too many trails. So, what was I saying? Yes, thank you. Thank you, Miss Willie and my wife. He said the word of God is quick, means alive. He's made us alive. We are quickened by the Holy Ghost unto the Father when we get born again. We're made alive. We don't run faster. We're just made alive. Are you with me? Now, the word of God is quick and powerful. That word means it's energes in the Greek, which is where you get the word energize. Remember in remember, brother, your favorite movie? Remember? And what's it called? Star Wars. Is it Star Wars? Or Star Trek. Oh, you're a Trekkie. That's right. A foodie and a Trekkie. But remember, he says, energize. And it goes, zzz, and he transports onto the ship. Do you remember that? Energize. Pastor Happy's favorite movie. It's a good movie. Energize, this Greek word means to be, that means what it means. The word of God is alive and it's energized. That's what, are you looking at me like I'm crazy? I'm not lying to you here. Just because I bring in a little bit of Star Trek, don't worry about it. Spock is in heaven. He got saved. I think he's in heaven. The word of God is alive. Let's read it in the Greek now. The word of God, but listen, Spock stole first, what is it? Third John 2. Live long and prosper. I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health. They stole the Bible and made millions. Let's move on. For the word of God, let's read it in the Greek, is alive and energized and sharper. Sharper. It means, now this is an interesting word in the Greek. There's two ways that you can cut. In the Greek, there's two different words. One means to cut repeatedly like this, like an axe chopping wood. And the other means to slice with a single blow and decapitate. This word is the single blow decapitation word. Yeah. In other words, when the word, the logos, the written, that's just on your page, that's not alive, but it's inspired. When it becomes, by what process? The revelation of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. When it becomes alive in you, it becomes energized in you, and in a single blow, it will cut through things. It will decapitate sickness in one blow. When you get energized, alive, quickened revelation on the subject of healing, you can get healed with one verse. You see, there's this kind of word, logos, but it has to become and alive. Now, did you notice it's only that, Jenny, it's only that kind of word, the quickened rhema word, not the logos word, that divides your soul from your spirit. So if you're just reading the Bible, trying to be led, and you're just meditating, and it's just in your mind, and there's no quickening, don't take that verse to make decisions on it. Because you are most likely in your soul in that decision, even though you feel nice and religious, because you've got a scripture. When people say to me, Pastor, I'm standing on the word regarding something, I pay very close attention. Because if you're standing on the word for your healing, that's fine. Standing on your word for other things, that's fine. But if you're standing on the word and it hasn't become quickened to you about who to marry, or standing on the word about things that you're going to make a decision on, and they're big decisions, but you don't have any quickening. It is a logos word. It is not a rhema word. You're in dangerous waters because you're in your mind even about that scripture, and there is access to demonic forces to influence your thinking, plus your own flesh, if it's not crucified, will influence your thinking. I'm just trying to help you. I'm not saying don't study the word. What I'm saying is get the word and let the Holy Ghost turn it into rhema word, a specific word, a holy word just for you about something that you're facing and believing or deciding on or direction or whatever. But get that kind of word, logos to rhema. Then when you've got the sharpened, quickened, alive word, That will divide between your desires of your soul and the things of the spirit in your spirit man. Yes. Only that rhema will divide. So if it's just something for healing, Greg, it's not that much of a big deal. If you just stand on the word with your mind, you won't be healed. But just keep standing. I'm still standing. Just keep standing. I was watching Sing with my kids, and the monkey was singing that song, and I was thinking to myself, that is scriptural, because I'm still standing. I'm still standing for some things. I'm still standing for some things in my life and in this ministry. So I sang along with the monkey. I think he was a gorilla. I sang along. But I'm not singing the way Elton John's singing it. I'm singing it like I'm standing, and I'm not quitting standing, because I'm standing my ground for some things. Let's get back on track. We can't be bored in this sermon tonight. But what I'm saying is, if you're standing on the Logos word,
amen,
and it's just in your mind, then you are going to stand and stand and stand and stand and stand. Are you? You know why, my brother and sister? Because you can't have faith with the Logos word. It's just, by his stripes I'm healed. By his stripes I'm healed. Pastor, I'm standing on the word. What you standing on, brother? By his stripes, I'm healed. Good. Just keep standing. Pastor, I am. I'm keep standing on that word. Well, you'll stand forever and not get healed. Because standing on that word produces no faith. And the only way that you can get something from God, in fact, the only way you can even please God, is if you have faith. Hebrews 11. So how do you do it? Well, you keep standing on this in your soul realm. You keep standing on that word, meditating on that word. Okay, now meditating is to, you know, chew the cud, regurgitate, mumble, think about, mutter to yourself. Do that even though it's in your mind. Because what will happen is, the more you, like a cow, the more you chew, it goes down, come back up, chew, it goes down. It will start to get down into your spirit. And then one moment you'll go, oh, oh. And the higher the pitch, the more revelation you've got. Ah! Because when you see it, now it's gone from Logos to Rhema, and you're shocked by it, because you're, now listen, when you're in that Rhema revelation, by his, I got it. That's Rhema. Now, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Rhema word. So now that you've got, oh, I see that. Now your spirit has opened. And that word is not just in your mind, it's down in your spirit. And now faith is moving because it's of the spirit. Now you just keep standing in that place. I guarantee you, healing is right around the corner. Finances, your job, your marriage, whatever it is, but you got to have rhema on it. Talking about being led by the Spirit still, but you got to have rhema on it. So that's something simple like healing or finances. But what about when you're standing for direction about a job or about a mate or about a major decision? That's not just as simple as healing. This is going to require a decision that could affect the rest of your life. You cannot stand on the Logos word and make a decision who to marry. Because you're in your mind. There is no faith attached. And if you're in your mind, you're influenced by things other than the Holy Ghost. Now, let's make it even more complicated. If your mind is very renewed, you can actually be more influenced by the Spirit than even your own flesh. But still be in a Logos position. Do you understand? And this is what some people stumble over, because they have a renewed mind with the word, but they're piggybacking too much on that renewed mind and making decisions, and they're standing on a scripture, and just because they've got a renewed mind in general, which is less influenced by demons and by their flesh, but it's still possible to be influenced by demons or their flesh, instead of waiting to get down in your spirit and rhema sparks, rhema pops out. They just say, well, I'm a spiritual person and my mind is clean and I'm thinking right and I've got this scripture and I've got this word. It don't matter if it's in my spirit or not, because I'm not being influenced. Wow. And then they make decisions and it ruins their life. Yeah. And maybe Maybe it's really a roll of the dice. Maybe they'll roll the dice and they'll make a decision and it will be of the Spirit because their mind was renewed enough to hear the Holy Ghost. But it could also be of their flesh or of the devil's power because it's not guaranteed.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So you're rolling the dice that your decision is right. Any decision you make, are you listening to me? Out of your mind, you are rolling the dice. The more your mind is renewed, the higher chance it's going to be by the Spirit. But it's never 100% because your mind is never renewed 100%. Are you listening? So you don't ever make decisions out of your mind. That's not called being led by the Spirit. That's called being led by the soul. Sinners are led by the soul because their spirit is dead unto God. Witches are led by their spirit, which is alive unto the devil, but dead unto God. Do you understand? I don't make decisions, no matter how renewed my mind is, about important decisions, just because I'm standing on a scripture and my mind is mostly renewed and there's a chance I'm going to hear and be led by the Spirit through my mind. I don't trust that because it's never 100% renewed, which means I'll never be 100% guaranteed that the decision I'm making is of my spirit. It very well could be of my soul. So what I do, which is what you should do, is I might have a renewed mind, and praise God, we're continually renewing it, but I get that scripture and I just keep meditating on it, renewing my mind with it, meditating until it drops down in my spirit. And when I get that alive quickening, really the Greek means to pour. So it's like when God pours that revelation into my spirit, which happens as I meditate on it, and it becomes alive, it becomes powerful, it becomes energized, and I go, oh, I got it. When I get that revelation, when it's in my spirit now, now this Holy Ghost is involved, not just my soul. Now it's in my spirit man, which is sealed and where no demon and no flesh can enter. Now if I make decisions out of that place, how do you make the decision? And wait until you get the inner witness. Until it settles. Until you know that you know that you know that you know that you know, and you don't know why you know. And you just have no idea why you know, but you just know. Yeah. You just know, like you know the sky is blue. You can't explain it, it just is. Yeah. I just know it. Yeah. You see, you'd never have that knowing, Taylor, in your mind, because your mind's never 100% renewed. And so the confidence is never 100% because evil spirits and flesh can always influence and hinder. Yeah. But in my spirit, man, there's no evil spirits and there's no flesh. So when I know it down here, it don't matter if up here I even understand it. It doesn't matter if I don't understand how it's going to happen, where the money's coming from. I don't know what's going to hack my house. I don't know where the money's coming from, but I know. But I know, I know. I don't know how, but I know. You see, now I'm making a decision out of my spirit, which is being led by the Spirit, because I've got a rhema word in my spirit that separated my soul from my spirit. Now I'm in the spirit. I'm not in the flesh. Now I've got 100% confidence that what I'm deciding is right. Because nothing can get into your spirit but God. So whatever comes out of your spirit has to be God.
Yes, sir.
Are you with me? So get in that word until it gets in you. Do you hear me? Get in the word, soul, logos, until it gets in you. Spirit, rhema. When your spirit's got it, it will separate away your soul. And that inner witness that you know, that's your spirit saying, it's your spirit speaking now. It's not your soul. Your mind don't even understand how it's going to happen most of the time. Don't worry about it. You know it. You know it, boy. Just step out. Now you still need to wait on the timing. Because you may know it, but if the timing is wrong, so then you got to kind of slow it a little bit and say, Lord, I know now, but what's the timing? And then again, you have to wait until you get that knowing on the inside. Because a lot of people know things, but they step in the wrong timing, and then they get frustrated because they really did know it in their spirit, but it didn't work out right because they tried to rush. Or they lagged. But most people rush, they don't lag. Most people are impatient. They just want things real quick. And you got to wait for the timing. I'm trying to help you understand. I'm led by the Spirit. People just look at that like a frou-frou statement, like, oh, God's just going to speak to me. No, it's so much more than that. The leading of the Spirit starts with the Word. It starts with the Logos word. Not looking for dreams, prophecies, animals, weather. It starts with, or any of the other kinds, and there's lots of them. It starts with the word, the Logos word. And you read it until it becomes rhema, quickened, alive, energized, poured into you, and it pops. Now you've got a word from God. It might be an exact scripture, or it might just be him revealing it to you through a scripture, or maybe through just directly to you. But it's going to line up with the scripture if it's not an exact scripture. And it's alive on the inside. Now that it's alive, it's in your spirit. Now that you know it's in your spirit, and it's there's faith moving now because it's rhema. And it's sealed in your spirit, so your soul and your ambition and your fears and demons can't influence it because it's in your spirit. And now you've got that in your spirit. It's separated out your soul, and what's left is pure spirit. And now you know this decision is right. Now you need to just know the timing of that decision. And you follow the same process to know what to do. You follow the same process to know when to do it. Are you with me? So I may know things, which I do about certain things, but I don't know when. So I'll follow the same process. Pray in the Holy Ghost, get in the Word, and if he might speak to me through a Logos, become Rhema, or he might just talk to me directly. But if he talks to me directly, it has to line up with that Word. He won't tell me something that doesn't line up with the Word, or I'm not hearing from God. Okay, so just don't be stupid and think about weird things. If you can't find it in the Bible, the written Logos Bible, he'll never lead you separate to that. So the more you know the Bible, the more you'll be able to filter if what you think is rhema actually is. Because some people, Jenny, they go, oh, I got it. But it's their soul that's excited. Your soul can be excited about something, but it not be out of your spirit, man. You say, Pastor, this is so complicated. I thought this was easy. I thought you said this was easy. Because now you're talking about this and that and separating, and now you could be in your soul and excited and not be Raymond. What the heck is going on here? If you'll just pray in the Holy Ghost a lot. All of this, I'm dividing the rainbow, but you're not always looking at the dividing of the rainbow as you're living life. It kind of just flows. But you've got to understand the dynamics of the rainbow if you're going to understand the mechanics of how to be led. But if you'll pray in the Holy Ghost, listen, if you'll pray in the Holy Ghost, I can tell you story after story after story, just in general. I'm not talking about specifically, I'm just talking about in general. Just a lifestyle of praying in the Holy Ghost. Keeping your spirit man moving. Because he's moving when you pray. And he's not moving when you don't pray. He's moving when you feed and get rhema from Logos, but he's not moving when you're watching TV. He's not moving when you're on your Facebook. He's not moving unless you're doing spiritual things. When you worship, it's moving. So what I've learned is if I just keep my spirit moving active, keep my spirit active on a regular basis by praying in tongues, if this excitement that I think could be the rhema pop, but it's actually a soul excitement, the Holy Ghost will check me. And I go, what is that check? That's just, you're just excited, son. That's got nothing to do with me. Oh, I thought that was rhema. I thought that was separating my soul, and that what was left is my spirit. No, that's just your soul. You're just in your soul. You need to pray more, get down in your spirit. You need to study my word more until I give you that true quickening, and you'll know it because it comes from your belly. Can I give you some pointers? If you check where the woo comes from, it's difficult because your mind has been illuminated. So it can feel like it's from your mind, but it's like a lightning flash that started here and went up to your mind. But you can trace the origin of it. Oh! Where did it come from? It came from in here, but it illuminated my mind. It went up. It went up. It has to go up. But if you're just in your mind, excited naturally, emotionally, because you're an emotional person about something, and you go, oh! It won't, if you sensitive, which can only come by praying in tongues, you'll sense it didn't come from down here. It came from up here, so don't trust it. That's not rhema. That's what I'm saying. I keep saying the more you pray in the spirit, all of this will start making sense to you. Because the more you pray in the spirit, your spirit will start to open, have activity, get more skillful, get more tuned. You'll be able to hear the leading of the spirit more clearly. And then if you're going through this process of trying to separate soul from spirit, meditating until you get the rhema. But you're not sure, is it actually rhema or is it just my emotionalism? The Holy Ghost will show you. Yeah. He'll check you if it's your emotionalism. Yeah. No, son, that's just, you're just excited. Nothing wrong with that. That's okay. But now I want you just to keep praying and keep studying, and because I'm going to give you a rhema word. The rhema word could be a scripture jumping off the page, or it could be an instruction that comes directly from God to you that is in line with the scripture. But when it comes, it quickens like a lightning from here to here. Your mind has to know it, or it's not revelation to you. But it has to originate in your spirit, because if it originates in your, if it's a horizontal flash, it started in your mind, it ended in your mind, and it could be influenced by the by other influences. But if it starts in your spirit and it flashes to your mind, then your it came out of the place of purity, and now your mind is illuminated with what's in your spirit. Now you know. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. And of course, this process can happen predominantly just by studying and meditating and praying in the Holy Ghost. And then all of a sudden, at a moment in the day, you don't necessarily know when or why, or just it just happens and you just know. Oh, yeah. Or it could be you wake up in the morning and it uploaded while you slept from your spirit to your mind. And that lightning flash happened while you slept. Yeah. And you open your eyes. I don't know why. I just know. Yeah. Or are you still with me? Yeah. Or it could come another way, which is one of my favorite ways, and it's the fastest way. But the Holy Ghost has to will it. Where he can give you the interpretation of your tongues. Pray that you may interpret, so you're allowed to ask. So Holy Ghost, I always say, whether he allows it or not, I always, as a standard rule, say, Holy Ghost, when I'm praying, I pray that I'd interpret as you will. Now that's still the gift of interpretation, but it's in a private setting. But you have to ask for it. If you don't ask for it, he'll be far less willing to give it to you. But even if you ask for it, he may not give it to you. Why? Because it's almost like a cheat. It's not. I don't want to ever talk about the gifts in a negative way. But it's a gift. It's like God's giving you a gift. It's kind of like, instead of working for it, here's a gift. Here's a, you can cut through the corner. You can go faster than anybody else. It's almost like a divine cheat, but a cheat in a good way. A divine acceleration, maybe we could say, because I don't like the word cheat. A divine help. And as you're praying, see, you don't know what your spirit, you just know what you don't know what to do. You're asking God, you're at a crossroads. And then out of your spirit come these words, and you just start to speak them out. And the English tells you what's in your spirit. Do you understand? Now you don't have to go through all the other longer process, because now your mind is automatically illuminated with what's in your spirit by the gift of interpretation of tongues. And that's the easiest and the fastest and the most efficient. And Dad Hagen said 80% of all of his sermons came from the interpretation of his own tongues. Did you notice that? Not by studying the Bible, by the interpretation of his own tongues, because his spirit already knew certain things, because he studied the Bible all the time. He studied it more than any other human being I've ever met. So he wasn't lazy. The word was always going in, but see, a lot of it was logos going in, logos going in, logos going in, but now it needs to turn to rhema. So it can happen while you're studying. Oh, I see that. It can happen while you sleep and you wake up. Oh, I know that. But it can also happen while you're praying in tongues and interpreting. And as you interpret, you go, I thank you, Lord.
Yes, amen.
But that's a gift. That's faster.
Amen.
And so he would study the Bible, so the Holy Ghost had something to draw from. He can't be lazy. But then as he'd pray in the spirit, he'd interpret out in English. What is he interpreting? What was in his spirit? That's the rhema coming out of his mouth in interpretation. Now his mind is instantly aware of what was in his spirit, man. But he's got a foundation of the word all the time because he's studying it. And his mind is illuminated. That flash happened through the gift of interpretation. Not just while he's sitting studying or while he's sleeping. It can happen a variety of different ways. But the most efficient is by the gift of interpretation. That's why Paul said, and it's the only gift you're permitted to do this. He didn't say you're allowed to pray for the others, although you are to covet the others. But he didn't. Only gift he said pray for is interpretation.
Yeah.
Because it is such an effective way of finding out what's in your spirit.
Right. Amen.
Of getting the flash from spirit to mind. Of illuminating the brain with what's in your spirit. In other words, it's the fastest way to get rhema. And the rhema is where the spirit of God lives. And the rhema is where faith is attached. You can't even believe for stuff until you got rhema. And the rhema and the spirit and coming out of your spirit through whatever means, whether interpretation or whatever, it's in here, it's pure, it's right, it's 100% perfect. It is not influenced by your mind. And it is not influenced by demons. and is not influenced by your flesh. And you can take it to the bank and count on it. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, to review, don't just get excited in your soul, think it's rhema. You've got to know the difference. Learn to interpret. It's the fastest and most efficient way to get rhema and to be led by the Spirit. But it's not certainly the only way. And thank God the Holy Ghost chooses when he does that, because he sees you being too lazy. He won't give that to you. He'll say, study. Read. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Wait on me. Let that rhema bubble up. Let that flash bubble up. You know what I'm saying? But sometimes he'll just say, yeah, you've been doing good. Here it is. And you, boom, you know it. But don't get into the soul realm thinking the excitement is rhema. The Holy Ghost will check you that it's not. And you've got to get in your spirit and not in your mind. You've got to separate your soul out of the thing. And the only thing that can do that is the quickened, alive, energized word, which is rhema. I'm helping you more than you're... A lot of people don't understand this. A lot of people don't even talk about this. This is very important. That's why we say, pray as much as you can in the Holy Ghost. Because the more you pray, the more you're going to be sensitive. The more movement is made. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Mm-mm-mm. But don't be lazy on your studying. It's the Word and the Spirit. It's not just the Spirit. You got to have the Word, regular intake and meditation. And you've got to have the praying in the Holy Ghost, regular praying. And don't worry about how it's going to work. Just do those two things. You will get rhema, guaranteed. Whether it comes from the study time, whether it comes while you're sleeping, whether it comes by interpreting, you will get it. You'll know it in your spirit. The rhema will divide your soul out of it. That what's left is pure, unadulterated Holy Ghost information. And with that information, you can make decisions. And you can stand for your healing. And you can marry the right person. And you can go to the right job. Not be led by money or by this or by that or by anything else. That is how we are led by the Spirit. But where does it start? Reading the Bible and praying in the Holy Ghost. You want to be led? Read the Bible a lot. And pray in the Holy Ghost a lot. Now listen, don't just read the Bible. Nobody has any Bibles anymore. Don't just read the Bible. Thank God that's over. Lord, I've been reading the Bible. Lord, I've been reading it. Are you true? Yeah, you're true, but you're also a liar. Sure, you've been reading it, but that's not what we're talking about. What does Joshua 1:8 say? So glad that you asked. I'm going to look it up so I don't misquote it. I know Taylor can quote it perfectly, but I can't. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night. Meditate therein day and night. Meditate. Now, the word meditate is the Hebrew word hagah. Please say it with me. Hagah. If you don't get the, then you're not Hebrew.
That's right. That's good.
Hagah. And it means to burn. Well, at least you're not bored. It means to murmur, Greg. Murmur. But not, I'm murmuring against my leader. It means murmuring is like, you know when you murmur, the boss tells you to go do the garbage. You know, some stupid idiot boss, tell me to do the garbage. That's murmuring. But that's murmuring in a bad way. But you can murmur in a good way. By stripes, by stripes, by stripes, by stripes, I'm healed. By stripes, I'm healed. It means to ponder, to imagine, to meditate, to mutter, to speak. It means to mutter, when you mutter to yourself. It means think about it, but you're thinking about it so much, it kind of bypasses your brain and it starts spilling out of your mouth. But you're not really talking about it, but you're just thinking about it so much, you're kind of talking to yourself. Talking to yourself is holy. Some people say you're crazy, but I talk to myself all day long. But not weird, like, Craig, you're the most amazing guy in the world. Not like that. But I talk to myself about the Word. I do. And I'm trying to do it more. Right, Pastor Happy? I'm trying to do it more. Where I'm meditating on a scripture, and I'll just be thinking about it, and just be muttering to myself, and just murmuring to myself, and just, Lord, yeah, thank you, Lord, about that. I'm going to think about that. And I just thought, Lord, help me understand that, Lord. I don't really, I don't get that part. See, I can pray in tongues and I can meditate all in a beautiful flow. See, I'm in the Word, but I'm praying in the Spirit. I'm in the Word, but I'm praying in the Spirit. And I do that as a lifestyle, not as a religious duty. My mother, she's in Africa. She won't hear. Well, she will. She's probably watching right now. Hi, Mom. Shoot. Forgot we were live streaming. We miss you, and you're coming home soon, and we can't wait to see you. I mean it. I love her. I miss her. I miss her hugs. She gives me hugs all the time. Boys always want their mom's hugs, no matter how old they get. And so, what else? Yes. She would say to me all the time growing up, it's devotion time. I got to the point where the word devotion made me see red like a bull. I hated devotion time. I love Jesus, but I hated devotion. It's devotions. Have you done your devotions? What do you mean, Mom? Have I done my devotion? Have you gone and done your devotions? Go and sit there and do your devotions. Don't get up from that table until you've done your devotions. That's what you'd say to me. That's what I grew up with. Do your devotions. And now my devotions means I have to be devoted. And I have to open my Bible and I have to read and I have to pray. I pray, Lord, I love you. God bless the people. God bless the animals. God bless the leaves and the breezes. Lord, thank you for all the beautiful people in the world. And I love you. And I don't love them, but I love you. But anyway, thank you anyway. I don't even know what I'm saying. Amen. And I'd read like 3 scriptures. And then I just twiddle my thumbs for the next 27 minutes. But I did my devotions. And years later, the Lord spoke to me, and he said, do you want to know why you hate devotions? And I said, you mean it's okay to hate devotions? I thought I was sinning. He goes, no. You know why you hate it? Because it's legalism.
Letter of the law.
My own spirit was rejecting it. Now, she didn't mean to be legalistic. She's trying to get me into a habit, into a lifestyle. But the way you do that, I don't think it's always the best to force somebody to do it in a legalistic manner by time. Because what you need is, yes, that might kind of get the boat going a little bit, get the engine going. But in order to make this work, it can't be isolated in a vacuum, I'm doing devotions. Your whole lifestyle has to be one long devotional. And that's what I wasn't taught. But I want to talk to God. I just don't want to be having to sit on that chair to do it for 30 minutes. I want to pray. I want to read my Bible. But I'd rather meditate all day long than sit there and go a speed reader. Done it. I'm done for the day. You're like a Catholic. Sin all day, sin all week, and repent in the Catholic box, the confessional. Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. It's been 28 days since my last confession. My son, I forgive you. First of all, he has no right to forgive you. My son, do 19 Hail Marys, give $78 to the children's fund, and I forgive you. That is heretical. He has no power to forgive sin. He's not Father, even though you call him Father. He's a person. Father is the one that forgives you, not Father. And your Hail Marys and $78 ain't going to buy you nothing. But a guilty conscience absolved temporarily while you go and live like the devil for the next 28 days. That's religion. But relationship says, Jesus, I don't want to just be stuck on the chair. I kind of want to just talk to you as I'm wanting to talk to you as I go about my day. I want to meditate on your word as I go about my day. I want to mutter it to myself as I go about my day. And yes, I can take time, and I do take time to actually sit. But it's not about the sitting. It's about the living. Wigglesworth said, I don't pray ever more than 30 minutes, but I never go 30 minutes without praying. So Wigglesworth had a lifestyle of continuous prayer. That's why Paul said, pray continuously. Not all day long, but at different times. See, don't sit on your chair and pray, and that's the only praying you do. Have a lifestyle, not a legalism, not just a devotional, but a living devotional. See, my spirit, I didn't understand. My spirit was rejecting that. Maybe I was lazy too. But I did truly love God. I just didn't like the confines of devotional time. I wanted to think about him all day long. And I thought, it's kind of legalistic to say I can only do it here. But what about for the other 23 and a half hours? I want to think about him as I'm going. I want to talk to him as I'm going. I don't want to be sitting on the chair when I talk to him. I want to just talk to him. And I want to meditate on that Bible. That's the lifestyle. Now, if you'll do that, lifestyle studying and meditating on the word, lifestyle praying in tongues, not speed reading devotional. How do you meditate if you're speed reading devotional? But Pastor Craig, I got to get my certain number of books done because I'm going to read the Bible in 1 year. I'm just going to do it. I'm going to get the Bible done in 1 year. 1 year. I got to read 19 chapters today. Okay. How's that working for you? And you're so fried. Well, it was great. It was great. You're twitching. It was wonderful. I read the Bible in the year and I'd never get anything out of it. Because all you're focusing is getting an accomplishment, but you're not meditating. It would be better to take one verse for a month and meditate, 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 regurgitate, rethink, renew, until your spirit opens and rhema goes, pow! And then you go, oh my Lord, I got it. I got it. And you mix that with praying in the spirit so that if you're doing too long, he'll check you. If you're doing too short, he'll check you. If you're in your soul excited thinking it's rhema, he'll check you. And you're praying in tongues, so sometimes rhema will come by the interpretation. Other times it comes by your study. Other times it comes when you're sleeping. Other times it comes by the rooster. I mean, there's a lot of ways it can come. But the main way, no matter how it comes, you're filtering it through your spirit, man, because it's innocent, it's pure, it's perfect. There's no evil, there's no darkness, there's no malice, there's no demons, there's no flesh, there's nothing but God. And you filter it through there. Then you'll learn how to be led by the Spirit. Lord, have mercy. You got songs tonight? You got lots of fun tonight. You got the Greek pronunciation. I mean the Hebrew pronunciation. You can't say you're bored. Now, last scripture before we go, I want you to read this one. It's really important. It's Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 27. Proverbs 20 and verse 27. You see, I love the Holy Ghost because I got all my religious notes and all my everything. But you see, when the Holy Ghost anointing comes on kind of dead notes, he'll make it alive and he'll take me down other paths and I'll share it in a different way. And I want it to be in a way where you're enjoying church. I bring humor and not to be, what's the word when you're sacrilegious. I'm not trying to be inappropriate and sacrilegious in God's house. That's not what I'm trying to do. But I'm trying, it's okay to have a little bit of humor and fun because God, listen, you're so religious, but God already knows you and your body functions and the sounds your body makes. God knows your weirdness. He knows your idiosyncrasies. He knows what you think when you're thinking and nobody else is saying it, but you're thinking it. He knows all of that. And so every now and then I'll just say what you're thinking. But even that, I know I'm using this as an example, but even that, you need the Holy Ghost. Because sometimes I'll go a little bit too far. I didn't tonight. But I know because as I'm going, I'll just have a little. And I go, oh, man. Come on, Lord. That was okay. And then I'll get to the back and you'll go, well, it's okay for back there, but it's not okay for where you're going. But see, but if I don't get that check. Now, my wife can get many checks, but it's not about that. Just keep writing the checks, Jenny. That's what we're after. She can get a check, but if I don't get a check, even though there can be some lightness and some humor, if the Holy Ghost doesn't check me, I know when he does. And then I go back and I repent. And I endeavor not to do that again. And he'll always show me why he checked me. He wouldn't just check me and then I don't know what's going on. But then I'll know that. But if he doesn't check it, he's okay with a little bit of... Jesus, I believe, was a lot of fun. If he was so starchy and religious, the sinners, the drunkards, wouldn't want to hang out with him. Because what do drunkards do? Have you ever seen somebody drunk? Because I've never drank in my life. I have never been drunk. I've never even been close to being drunk because I'm a saint. So I have no idea what it feels like to be drunk. But other people in this congregation have told me because they've been drunk many times. And apparently you're very lighthearted. Everything is funny to you, even though it's not funny. And you lose all your inhibitions. You'll dance when you don't know how to dance. You'll just do stupid things. So the drunkards, the Bible calls them winebibbers and drunkards. They were just that kind of a frolicking bunch. And they loved hanging out with Jesus. Now, Jesus wasn't drunk. But that shows me for their cavalier, very, very, everything's funny and dancing. And Jesus fit in to that, even though he wasn't drunk. Because the Bible says, don't be drunk with wine. So Jesus wouldn't have violated the Bible. So he wasn't drunk. But he obviously was not religious in a way that when they're in their happy, laughing, frolicking mood, that he's sitting there like a sourpuss. What are you guys laughing about? Then they wouldn't want to be around him. He obviously knew how to have fun. He knew how to laugh. He knew how to enter in with joy, yet without sin. And they liked him because they saw this guy's got something real and he's actually fun to be around and he enjoys life, but he does it without intoxication. He does it without sleeping around. He does it without cheating and lying and cussing. There is a way to have fun and really enjoy yourself, but not grieve the Spirit. So if we're having a little fun in church, just relax, get your hair down. Some of you got your buns so tight, your eyes are going to pop out like poo. Just set your hair down. My God. Okay. Sorry, Jenny. You don't look at me because the Holy Ghost wasn't grieved with that, Jenny. He's thinking the same thing. 20. Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 27. The spirit of a man, the spirit, not the soul, the spirit of a man is the candle. You are a candle, Pastor Haffy. That's what you are. The Bible said you're a candle. The spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the where? So where is your spirit? It's ridiculous to say, I don't know why we say it, invite Jesus into your heart. Jesus don't come into your heart. Jesus comes into your belly. No, I'm serious. We pray those prayers. Jesus, come into my heart. I know it's a nice thing. There's nothing wrong with saying that because we mean heart as spirit. But we think of heart here.
Sure.
This is your pumper. It's not your spirit. Your spirit is in your belly. That's why when you laugh in the Holy Ghost, it comes from here. That's why when the lightning flash of revelation comes to your mind, rhema, it comes from here. It doesn't come from your finger into your brain. It doesn't come from your big toe. Oh! It comes from your spirit up into your mind. It comes from your belly. Are you with me? It doesn't come from your chest cavity into your mind. People think I'm crazy, but I'm not crazy. The Bible says where your spirit is. Your spirit is not here. Your spirit is here. That's why when Pastor Nancy says, look to your spirit, I don't go. Oh. When I look to my spirit, brother, I don't go. Oh, I'm looking. Pastor, I'm looking. No, when I look to my spirit, I look down in here. I look down in here because it's right here where the Holy Ghost is. He's right here. He's in the center of my being.
That's right, yeah.
He's in the center of me. That's his place. Are you with me?
Yeah.
The spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord, searching. So your spirit is enlightened by God. It is the enlightenment, the lamp, or the candle of God. Your spirit is light in here. God lit it when you got born again. The sinner that's your neighbor, their spirit is not light.
Yeah. Yes, that's right.
Their spirit is darkness because they are separated from God.
Yeah.
They can't look to their spirit because their spirit won't guide them.
True.
They only can rely on their soul.
Yeah.
Or demon spirits like what psychics do, they're trusting demon spirits to guide them, but those spirits are dark. Do you understand? Your spirit is light.
Yes.
It's a candle. It's a lamp. So how is God going to, if you're in a dark room, Greg, you take your phone and you put your little, you know, your little thing on like this, right? And that's our little modern day little flashlight.
Yeah.
But back in the old days, what would they have to do? They'd have to get that match and light that candle or put in that kerosene lamp or whatever it is that they did. But if you can't find where you're going, you need a source of light to show you where to step.
Yes.
So you don't step on the cat's tail. or bump your leg into the coffee table. You need a source of light. In your life, the source of light is in your spirit. It will show you, not your mind. Not your mind. Your spirit is the candle, it's the lamp, it's the light, it's a flashlight of the Lord. And it will show you where to walk. Amen. So you don't make decisions on your journey out of your brain.
That's right.
You make it out of your spirit.
Amen.
But how does my spirit, how does my brain get? It goes from your spirit up to your thought life. It's a flash. It illuminates your mind.
Yeah.
Now, I pray, Ephesians 1, that you would have the spirit of wisdom and revelation. That means things are revealed to you in your spirit. Watch. That the eyes of your understanding. What are the eyes of your understanding? Your understanding is your brain. The eyes of your understanding is not your physical eyes. It's the eyes of your mind. Your mind has to catch up with the revelation in your spirit. That you'd have the spirit of wisdom and revelation.
Yes.
And that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you may know.
Yes.
Know what? The revelation in your spirit.
That's right.
Yes.
My spirit is the light.
Amen.
It's going to guide me. But my mind is going to have eyes that are going to enlighten. They're going to be lighted by the light of my spirit. Do you see that? The eyes of understanding would be enlightened. Your mind needs light. But where does the light come from? The candle in your spirit. So you need it from your spirit up to your soul, up to your mind. That's a good laying of a foundation today. Because in the future, the Lord said to me, Jenny, he said, you can't always teach on the subject. There's too much else to cover. But he's listened to me. He said, there's people coming. Oh, I thank God when he talks like that. He said, there are people coming, son. I don't know who he's talking about, but I can guarantee you they're coming because it was a rhema word to me. He said, there are people coming to promise of life. New people going to join. And he said, they've never heard this teaching ever once in their entire life. And you can't always repeat it all the time. So I want you to make a series. And I want you to hand it to those new ones that are coming. Whether they're veteran believers but have been in a church that's never taught it for 40 years. Or whether they just got saved 2 days ago and they obviously have never heard it. But I want you to hand this because this, that's why I'm not rushing. I'm taking my time with it because I want people to catch this base revelation. It's going to get a little deeper as we go on with some deeper truths like the voice and the inner witness and the difference between the two and all that. But I'm trying to lay a foundation because if you don't understand how to get in your spirit and away from your soul, you'll never have the light you need.
Yeah.
Your soul is enlightened by your spirit, not the other way around. And how do you do that? In the Bible, meditating so rhema can come, praying in the Holy Ghost much so he can guide you, lead you, prompt you, give you instruction, and to interpret your own tongues, if he permits you. And between those two processes, you will get in your spirit, you will get the rhema, it will be pure, you'll know that you know that you know, and you'll make right decisions. And you won't keep failing at things. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the mighty spirit of truth and the great teacher. Holy Ghost, you are our teacher. Capital T. You are our counselor. Capital C. You give us counsel and your word says that you lead us into all truth because you are the spirit of truth. And the word is truth. And as I'm teaching the word, the spirit of the word, the spirit of truth, the Holy Ghost is teaching and giving counsel through this word. And Lord, you're doing it directly. I can see you falling on people at different times in the service and light and revelation is coming to them instantaneously, directly from you. And then you're also using the office and the subject that I'm teaching to bring revelation to people. So we thank you for it. Holy Ghost, we give you all the credit and all the praise because no man can do anything without your help. And it's your anointing and your teaching through a person that makes all the difference in the world. So Holy Spirit, thank you for helping us tonight. Thank you for teaching us tonight. Lord, there was so much said tonight in a 1 hour period that if they're smart, they might want to go and listen to it again because there was about at least 13, 14 things that I've said that weren't even in my notes that were nuggets and truths to help make this subject clear. So I thank you, Lord, that they'll be hungry enough to study it. If they want to learn to be led by the Spirit, they can't be lazy. They've got to study the Word. And part of studying the Word is re-listening to sermons about that subject. So I thank you, Father, for hungry hearts and good responders. I bless them, and I thank you, Father, that I say over this congregation, watching and present, that Promise of Life and every person in Promise of Life is learning to become skillful with the leading of the Spirit. We are a skillful people that are led by the Spirit, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.